How's that? Come on. Shalom, everyone. Do you know what that is? No, oh, I mean, you know what that is over there. that shofar that I blew. It's a ram's horn, right? That's a ram's horn, and that's what the Jewish people even blow on Friday nights, or we blow in the Yom Kippur services at the congregation, and it is a call to worship, but also a call to repentance. Yes. Now we can answer the question about shalom. What does shalom mean? Peace, all right? It also means hello and goodbye. So as believers of Jesus, us Jewish people, sometimes we don't know whether we're coming or going when we say shalom. All right. And I heard aloha. Did you say shaloha? Yes. That's what we do. Shalom and aloha. Bring them together. Have you heard that one before? In Hawaii, that's what the Messianic Jewish people do. They say shaloha. Yeah. It's true. It's true. It's funny, but it's true. Well, my name is Richard Hill, and I am with CGF Ministries. We're a worldwide missionary organization bringing the gospel of Jesus to the Jewish people. And we'll do it all over the world, like in Israel, Russia, France, England, Argentina, and other countries around the world. And we even are in New York City, Los Angeles, Phoenix, and then, of course, Las Vegas, where I and my family live. Yes, Las Vegas, we do have about 80,000 Jewish people living there. Did you know that? Oh, I didn't even know that either. Until, what, about 10 years ago, God called us from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, my family and I, to bring the gospel to the Jewish people. We didn't even know there were Jewish people living in Las Vegas. Yeah, but there were 70,000 back then. Now there are 80,000. Las Vegas is the fastest growing population amongst Jewish people, percentage-wise, in any United States city, right there in Las Vegas. Can you imagine that? Yeah, it's amazing. And that's why God has brought my family and I there so we can preach the gospel to them. We're the very first Jewish missions to live in Las Vegas, to go in Las Vegas, to live there, and to preach the gospel to them. Now, God has blessed us in that time, in 10 years, we've been able to help almost 700 people come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen? Yeah, praise God. He gets all the glory. Out of that 700, 53 of those are Jewish people. Come on, give a little clap for the Jewish people. Hey. Yeah, that's not a lot, is it? But it's still a good number. It's a decent number, and it's just because of what the Lord is doing in our lives. And so we're praising the Lord for every salvation, of course, every salvation that comes through our ministry. But, you know, we're focusing on the Jewish people, so we bring the gospel to the Jewish people. And so in 10 years' time, now what is that? An average of maybe 5 Jewish people. So we need your prayers. Please pray for us. Pray that God would open up the doors of opportunities to preach the gospel to the Jewish people. We have many different ministries that we are reaching out to Jewish people. And number one, I go to UNLV. That is the university, the one and only university in Las Vegas. 20,000 students attend that school. Yeah, all year round. 20,000, that's a lot. That's more than people here in Morgan Hill, is it? Almost. I was just guessing. But there's a lot of students there, and so we're reaching out. I've had campus outreach, a bunch of people I've trained, and they go out with me, and we share the gospel. We get into passing out tracts. We've passed out, the last few years, every year, we passed out 20,000 tracts on campus for that year. And so our goal is just to get a tract into everybody's hand that we see on that campus. And you know, that's the way. And that's the way we can help spread the good news, just by passing out the tracts, passing out God's love, telling people Jesus loves them. And that's what we do on campus. Also have a ministry that goes shopping in the malls. Anybody like mall shopping, going to shopping? One? Only one? Okay. Oh, there's a lot of ladies raising their hand. Well, you know, Las Vegas is well known for other things other than shopping, of course. But shopping, we have malls that are like, they used to call them mile-long malls, but that got too small. Yeah, so now they're miles and miles long, so they have to change all the names. But there are very large malls in Las Vegas. I don't know if you know that or not. And there's a lot of Israeli Jewish people that are selling their products in those malls. They're called little kiosks, in the little wooden carts. They sell their products. They're even around in Los Angeles here and in this area too. I'm sure in the malls they do that here as well. So we just walk the malls. And what I usually do is I wear my gigantic Star of David t-shirt. big old bullseye right on the front and the back. A friend of mine from Atlanta made these T-shirts. They're Star of David, blue on white shirt. It's got Jesus loves you in the middle. And so my friends and I, we walk the malls with our T-shirts, and the Israeli Jewish people, they love us. They do. It's amazing. I thought they would hate us, but they love us. You know why? Because we're broadcasting that we're Jewish. And we're telling the world, hey, we're Jews, and we're proud of it. And they love that kind of thing. And so when we walk the malls, they see our Jewish star from miles away, and they pull us over, and they want to talk to us. And then that's how we get in little conversations. You know, we Jewish people like to talk, so we talk. But then I say, well, what about the Jesus? They love this shirt. I say, well, what about the Jesus loves you part? And they say, well, you know, I don't know about that, you know. But they like the Jewish star part, but that's what gets us to talk about it. And that's what we do. And then we share about Jesus. Well, we're a different kind of Jewish people. We believe Jesus, Yeshua is his Hebrew name. We believe Yeshua is the Jewish Messiah. Yeah, and that's how we go through. We talk about Scripture, and you know, we even get into some arguments and discussions with some of the Israelis, especially the ones that know the Scripture, and we talk about Isaiah 53 and all the other prophecies and discussions, even in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where it talks about God in the plural. We talk about that with some of the Jewish people as well, and so it's a real exciting ministry. And we also have a Messianic congregation in Las Vegas called Beth Yeshua. That means house of Jesus. And so we're ministering to the Jewish people that way, unsaved Jewish people, and of course, Messianic Jews, Jewish believers of Jesus can come and worship. And we do that on a Friday night. So we have Friday night service in Las Vegas. And we also have a ministry to the elderly. My wife and her dance team and my children, they go to convalescent homes around Las Vegas and they dance. Now, I know this is a Baptist church and I don't want to really, you know, try to change you all into dancing ideas here, but in the Jewish world, we have dancing as part of worship, and it's choreographed circle dancing, Davidic dancing, and so she'll go in and bring music, and she'll dance for the elderly, and then she's able to share the gospel as well, and she's led 6 elderly people just the last few months to the Lord through that ministry. Yeah, amen. We have a lot of referrals as well from our Christian friends. And my wife, again, she just led a couple of weeks ago an elderly Jewish lady, 82-year-old Jewish lady to the Lord. Can you imagine that? You know how difficult it is to lead Jewish people to the Lord already? But now elderly Jewish people, that's the hardest, yes. Because why? They're already set in their ways, right? Yeah, 82 years old. But she received Jesus with great joy. Received Jesus with great joy. And now we're ministering to her as well, and unfortunately she's failing in her health, and so we're helping as much as we can there and praying for her too, and just such a blessing what God is doing in our ministry in Las Vegas. So that's basically what we're doing. And did you guys, gentlemen, pass out the envelopes already, the brochures? They're already out. You have an envelope. Please take a look at it. Just want to talk about this, and we'll get right into our message for today. Gives you a little bit more information about CJF Ministries and our personal ministry. You got a little bio on the back of what happened to us leaving Los Angeles all the way, you know, God bringing us all the way to Las Vegas. You know, when God called us to Las Vegas, the first thing I said was, oy vey. You got to be kidding me. Who wants to go to Las Vegas? And so, God wants us in Las Vegas. We're in Las Vegas. That's the way it goes, right? Okay, so our bios on the back. We have our goals about evangelizing Jewish people, equipping the church, building up the body of Messiah, and also educating the church about our Jewish roots and also how to evangelize the Jewish people as well. But today we're going to be teaching about Israel today and a little bit of information more on how you can reach Jewish people as well. And on the front side of it, about our ministry, we have radio. We have a radio broadcast around the world as well. We have missions throughout the world. We have publications. We have books. There's a table in the back foyer where I've got tracts and books that you can take a look at. And tours to Israel. Anybody ever want to go to Israel before? Well, we have tours as well. You can come with us and see Israel through Jewish eyes. Our beginning goes all the way back to 1948, which was the first year of what? The rebirth of what nation? Israel, yes, we see that as a wonderful spiritual beginning. And then how can you help our ministry? We're a faith-based missionary organization. We need prayer, number one. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We're saved by faith, amen? We need your prayers, so please pray for us. We come under a lot of spiritual attack all the time, all of our ministry partners as well. But you can also go on our website. We have a website, cjf.org. It's on the brochure. And you know what? You can check out even my webpage. You go to U.S. Representatives, and you can see our new multimedia broadcasting on some of the things of our ministry, the things I was just telling you about. We had a gentleman in from headquarters, and he followed me around with a video camera. And that was a lot of fun, and he took pictures of us in the mall and on campus and in our services, and you can actually see what goes on in our ministry in Las Vegas if you would like. You just go there and type my name in there, and just go to cjf.org, and you'll find me somewhere in there. And also financially, you can give. I'm going to let the pastor take the love offering at the end of the service, but you can give to our organization through the church and be blessed for it. Why? Because Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 tells us that if you bless the Jewish people, you will be blessed. And so when you give to this ministry, you help the Jewish people. You help them a lot of different ways. You help them get saved, number one, but you also help in many different ways. We minister in other ways as well, physical, emotional, but mostly spiritual, of course. So be blessed this day. Pray to the Lord. If you'd like to be partners with us, then please fill out that this brochure. There's a place on the last flap there for your name and address. Be blessed, but you can be partners with us if you like. You'll receive information in the mail. If you just want to pray for us, you can send let me know your email address, and we'll send out prayer requests every so often, and that way you can pray for us as well. But it's such a blessing for me and my family to be here this day. You know, we were here a couple of years ago. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me teach from your pulpit. That is not an easy thing to give up the pulpit, I know, because I'm a pastor as well, but it is a blessing for me and our family to be here. Please open up your scriptures to the book of Genesis, please, chapter 16. Genesis 16, verse 7 through 12. We are going to be talking today about Israel today. Now, Israel today, in my opinion, is pretty much a shambles, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Spiritually, many, many different religions in Israel. Very few believers of the Messiah in Israel. Spiritually, a mishmash. Mishmash is like a conglomeration of different religions, and many of those religions are very pagan religions as well. And so spiritually, Israel needs our prayers. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for the gospel to go through Israel, through our organization, but there's other many great organizations and churches in Israel. We've got to pray for them as well, that they'll spread the good news to the Jewish people. But there's also a spiritual attack against Israel going on today. The enemies of the Jewish people, as we read in Psalm 83, which we're going to go through in just a few more minutes, many enemies of the Jewish people getting ready, bringing themselves together, uniting together to attack Israel physically. And that's been going on for many, many years now. Not just back to President Clinton, who was able to bring about the Oslo Accords and a little bit of peace into Israel, but this problem, this hatred, this violence that we find in Israel between these peoples goes back thousands and thousands of years. It actually goes back to the beginning of the Jewish people with Abraham, Hagar, and Sarah. And so we're going to read about this situation here in Genesis chapter 16. Take a look. We're going to skip the first few verses there, but we see at the beginning here of chapter 16 that Sarah was not able to conceive. And so she gave Hagar into Abraham's arms, and Hagar was able to conceive, and she was to do it for Sarah, kind of like a surrogate mother situation. However, when Hagar was able to conceive, then she looked at her mistress and despised her mistress, which was against the order and the plan of the situation that they had set up. So Sarah treated her harshly, and now we find in verse 7, Hagar has left. Hagar has run away. Number one, we all know running away from your problems is not the correct godly way to do things in life, is it? So already that's the situation. She is running away. Verse 7, now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Here is the second problem in the situation. We see that Hagar has not submitted herself to her master. Her masters, of course, were Abraham and Sarah. But she needs to submit. She is the slave. She is not doing that. She is trying to lift herself up above Sarah. And so that is the second problem we see. Verse 10, moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they shall be too many to count. So now in her sin, she's running away from a situation, right? In her sin, what does God do? God blesses her. That's amazing, isn't it? And he says, I'm going to produce through your seed an abundance that you won't be able to count. Lots of descendants. And that, for this time period, and even for many thousands of years afterward, is the greatest blessing a family could have. That God says, hey, I will bless you, and you will have many seed, many sons, many daughters, many children. That is a great blessing. And so, yes, even in her sin, God is blessing her. Amazing. Verse 11, well, first, verse 10, Hagar, I need to let you know, Hagar is the mother of all of the Muslims in the world. Through Ishmael, her son, Abraham, Hagar had Ishmael. Ishmael is the father of all the Muslims, but Hagar is the father of all the Muslims. These are four fathers, right? And so, too many to count. There are over 1 billion Muslims in the world. And that was God's blessing. Yeah, God's blessing. Look at verse 11. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears. That's what his name means, God hears. Because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. Well, yes, she was afflicted, and she prayed unto the Lord. She cried out, and God heard her affliction. And this is his blessing upon her. But now we take a look at the four conflict prophecies of verse 12. Ishmael, it says, and he will be a wild donkey of a man. Does anybody ever own donkeys in this congregation at all? We got one, a couple in the back. They can be wild, right? At any time, they can just freak out, start kicking and honking and doing their thing, right? Yeah, that's why. That's the donkey. And then the next minute, they're very peaceful, right? You give them the apple and they're very happy. Yeah, right? And then the next minute after they're done, they could start kicking and honking and doing their thing again. Wild, they're out of control, that's what it means. His hand will be against everyone. That means he's going to be warlike, he's going to be the aggressor. And everyone's hand will be against him, so he will be violent, he will be warlike, but other people are going to be warring against him as well. And he will live to the east of his brothers or in defiance of his brothers or before the face of his brothers. The Hebrew word means all of that. Ishmael actually did live east of his brothers. That's where he finally ended up. But you see the key here, I want to key on, it says to the east of his brothers. Who are Ishmael's brothers? The Jews, that's right. Isaac and Ishmael were brothers from Abraham. We are blood brothers. We should be loving one another, not what? Hating one another, violent, being violent towards one another. We're blood brothers. We're family, right? Mishpocha, we say in the Hebrew. That's family. We're certainly not treating each other like family, are we? And we haven't been for thousands of years. It goes back to these days right here. And that's the problem. Then you've got Ishmael. Then you've got Isaac. In Galatians chapter 4, it said Ishmael persecuted Isaac. He did it then and he does it even today, meaning in Paul's day in the first century. So violence was cast all the way from Abraham's time all the way into the first century. And we know violence has been going on even to our day. Now there's violence between these peoples, no doubt. Violence between the Jews and or from the Jews and hatred from the Jews and also from the Muslims as well and the Persians. But we see here the beginnings. Now let's continue on. Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 35. Ezekiel chapter 35. We're going to look at verse 1 through 5 and then verse 15 as well. Here's a prophecy concerning Mount Seir. Mount Seir. And the Lord says some very harsh things against Mount Seir. Let's take a look. Ezekiel 35, verse 1 through 5. Ezekiel's right after Lamentations and right after Jeremiah and Isaiah. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it, and say to it, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against you, and I will make you a desolation and a waste. When God says he is against you, are you in a lot of trouble? You don't want to be against God, do you? The Lord thy God says here, he's going to make Mount Seir a desolation and a waste. Verse 4, and I will lay waste your cities, and you will become a desolation. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Part of the key of persecution and desolation and destruction by God against pagans or against non-believers of the Lord is so that they will know that he is God. The Lord thy God, the one and only God, above all other gods. You see, these other nations, this Mount Seir, doesn't worship the Lord God, so they're worshiping different gods. Amen? And so God wants them to know him. He wants them to know him. Sometimes this happens through persecution, through destruction. It's just God's way. It's unfortunate, but it happens. Now, who is Mount Seir? That's the question. Verse 15 tells us, take a look. As you rejoiced over the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so I will do to you. You will be a desolation, O Mount Seir, and all who? What does your Bible say? Edom, that's right, all of it. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Again, he repeats it. Then they will know that he is God. They will know at least that the God of Israel is the one and only God after he destroys. Edom today is southern Jordan. Southern Jordan. Edom has never been destroyed in such a way as God has identified here in chapter 35 of Ezekiel. So, but God made the promise, did he not? He says, I will destroy you, I will desolate you, right? So when is it going to happen? If it hasn't happened in the past, it has happened in the future. And so sometime in the future, it will happen. Southern Jordan is in a peace treaty with Israel today. But sometime in the future, God's going to destroy Southern Jordan. It's a sad situation, isn't it? Look at verse 5. Here's the reason. Why is God going to destroy them? Verse 5, because you have had everlasting enmity and have delivered the sons of Israel to the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, at the time of the punishment of the end. They've had everlasting enmity towards the Jewish people. Enmity is hatred. Everlasting, how long is that? Yeah, that goes back a long time. Obviously, it's not talking about an eternal amount of time. It goes back to Abraham's days. The scriptures that we just read. And the Bible tells us there's an everlasting hatred from Edom toward the Jewish people. Now, there's definitely hatred from the Jewish people to their enemies as well. There's no doubt about it. But we're looking at the biblical understanding of the situation and how it all began and why it's all coming to fruition today. Please turn to Psalm 83. Psalm 83, our scripture reading of this day. By the way, your homework assignment, you can read the rest of Ezekiel chapter 35. It's a very good chapter. Continues on with some more reasons and understanding of why. So read that rest of it. And Psalm 83, we're going to take a look at the first 8 verses here. It's a psalm of Asaph. It's a psalm that is actually sung in the temple to worship God. And yet it is a plea, it's a crying out of this prophet of Asaph, this prophet, but he's also, you know, a singer in the temple, and he's crying out unto the Lord for the Jewish people. Look at verse 1. O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent, and O God, do not be still. For behold, thine enemies make an uproar, and those who hate thee have exalted themselves. The enemies of the Jewish people are making an uproar, but they're the enemies of the God of Israel as well. Very clear, these enemies, they do not believe in the God of Israel. By the way, the God of Israel is our God, is it not? Yes, he is our God. So they hate the God of Israel here. Verse 3, they make shrewd plans against thy people and conspire together against thy treasure ones. Thy people and the treasure ones are the Jewish people. So they're making shrewd plans. They're conspiring together. They're being unified in their hatred of God and the Jewish people. Verse 4, they have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. Now just think in your recent history. Let's go back a few years. Yasser Arafat, how many times did he say he wanted to destroy Israel? How many times did he say he wanted to push all the Jews out into the Mediterranean Sea? Hundreds of times, hundreds of times. What about the prime minister or the president of Iran even today? Denies the Holocaust. Says he wants to do the very same thing, wants to wipe out Israel. That's why they live. That's why Iran is in existence, to wipe out Israel. He says that himself. I'm only repeating the things that they have said. They want to wipe out Israel as a nation. Why? Because of the everlasting hatred that they have towards them. And yet we should be blood brothers, loving brothers, right? Working together. God intended that from the beginning. Now, what God intended from the beginning is actually happening in the land of Israel today. I don't know if you knew this or not. There are Jews, there are Palestinians, there are Muslims, there are Islamics, and others as well that are worshiping together. You know what's tied them all together? Is Jesus. They are all Christian. There are Christians now of these Palestinians, these Jews, these Muslims. They're all coming together and they're worshiping together. They're showing the world that it can be done. That these peoples can live in peace and worship together. But you know who's the one that has to bring them all together? It's Jesus. Yes. He's the only one. Many, many other peoples and presidents around the world have tried to bring these people together in peace, and yet they can't do it. Maybe there's a little peace, a few years, like under President Clinton. But they can't do it. It's not everlasting. It's not a lengthy, it's not a long-term peace like Jesus is going to do when he comes back in his second coming, and when he sets up the kingdom. Then there's going to be this peace, this everlasting peace that he first intended for the Jewish people in the land of Israel. So God has to fulfill his promises, does he not? All right, let's continue on. Verse 5, for they have conspired together with one mind. Against thee do they make a covenant. Who are these peoples now specifically? God identifies them here. In Psalm 83, verse 6 through 7, take a look. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria has also joined with them. They have become a help to the children of Lot. Edom, we've already said, is southern Jordan. Ishmaelites, anybody who claims Ishmael for their father in their religion. That would include the Persians as well. That's the Iranians. Moab is central Jordan. The Hagrites come from Hagar. Hagar was an Egyptian. So it's talking about Egypt here. Gebal. Gebal is Lebanon today. Ammon. Ammon is northern Jordan today. That includes all of Jordan now, north, central, and south. Amalek is the Sinai Peninsula in between Israel and Egypt, owned by Egypt. Although that Sinai Peninsula was taken by Israel in one of the wars. But they gave it back to Egypt after that war was done. Philistia, Philistia today, the area where the Philistines live today is called, do you know what it is? Gaza Strip. Yeah, the Philistines went extinct. They died out. But now today, the Palestinians live in the Gaza Strip area. And the Gaza Strip has been given over to them. You know, it was a few years ago that that happened. And you know, from the very day that they gave the Gaza Strip over to the Palestinians, they rained mortars and shells and attacked Israel that very same day from the Gaza Strip. Can you imagine that? There was supposed to be peace in exchange for that piece of land. But the very same day, there was no peace. And from that day on, there hasn't been any peace. So where's the world in the uproar saying, hey, what happened? How come you're going against your promise, right? Wasn't that a promise? So what happened? Where's the uproar? Well, it's only the Jews. Who really cares, right? Basically, isn't that the attitude of the world? That's the way I look at it. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it seems to be. And you know what? It's getting worse, is it not? It's not getting any better. Unfortunately, it's not getting any better. All right, let's continue now. Where did I end up here? Oh, Amalek. No, Philistia. Okay, Tyre. Tyre is a city in Lebanon. Remember, that was one of the cities that Jesus even went to. Assyria today is some of Syria and Iraq. Yeah. Of course, we all know about the war in Iraq there and that situation. So here are the players of this situation, the nations that are the ones that are making shrewd plans, conspiring together against the treasured ones of the Lord, the Jewish people. And now let me give you a little history. This is just recent history. Starting with World War II, after World War II, 6 million Jewish people died in that war. The UN voted to give land over to two peoples, to partition up the land of Israel into two nations. They voted, and they agreed. The UN agreed. Said, okay, we'll give a nation, give a part of the land to Israel. Israel reluctantly accepted it. And then they also gave the land over to the Arabs as well. The Federation of the Federation of the Arabs. I'm messing that up. But their federation actually said no, they would not accept the land. That's true. Just look in your history. Look on the internet. They refused the land. Why? Because they could not fathom to have a state right next to Israel and a Jewish state. And so they refused the land back in 1948. And you know what? They owned the land in the early 1900s. They owned all of the land. It was a wasteland. There was a prophecy in the scriptures, right? Talked about for many days, which actually turned out to many years, that the land of Israel was going to be a waste. Turned out to be 1900 years from first century to our century into the 1900s. Yeah. A wasteland. It was just swampland, sand. Couldn't grow crops there at all. Very few Jewish people. But once Jewish people started moving into the land early 1900s, guess what? God started blessing the land. But the Arabs, they sold, the Persians and Arabs, and they sold the land to one Jewish man was buying up hundreds of thousands of acres. And he's the one that had the vision, the Zionist vision, to begin this nation of Israel where Jewish people could live. He started buying up all those acres. A land. And over time, God started blessing the land, bringing more Jewish people into the land. Back then, you only had thousands of Jewish people in the land. Now, we've got almost 6 million Jewish people in the land. And God continues to make the call for Jewish people to come. We're going to get to that verse in just a moment. On May 14, 1948, when the British withdrew from Israel, the Jews proclaimed an independent state of Israel. The very next day, Israel was attacked by Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Egypt, all united together to try and wipe out the Jews. But the UN just voted to give them the nation. What happened? Why are all these nations attacking when the UN voted? Said it was okay. Because the scripture says that's what was going to happen. They're united, and they're continuing even to this day to be united against the Jewish people. The Six-Day War, 1967, Egypt closed the Straits of Turan to Israeli shipping. Israel attacked. They attacked Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, occupied the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and the Golan Heights, which is what the land they own even to this day, except for the Gaza Strip. But when you close the Straits of Turan to Israeli shipping, that's an act of war. So Israel was just in attacking. Yom Kippur War, 1973, Israel was attacked by Syria and Egypt. And then today we have the Palestinian attacks as well, and this kind of guerrilla warfare, terroristic warfare that's been going on for many years now. What, 7 years or so? 8 years maybe? I can't even remember. It's been so long. Mortar shells just keep on coming over the border. It's happened so much that we don't even hear about it in the news anymore. Some periods of time it tapers off, slows down, but other times it continues on and even increases and gets worse. And that's what we're seeing even this day. Now please turn to our last scripture, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. We talked about God calling all the Jewish people back to the land. This is the scripture. He's got a plan for Israel. This is one of the scriptures, many of the scriptures that are found in the prophet sections that are prophesying that God's going to call all the Jewish people back to the land. Let's take a look at verse 22, Ezekiel 36. Chapter 36 is right after chapter 35. We were just there a couple of sections ago. That was a joke, yes. Not a very good one, right? Oive, what can you say? Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 22 says this, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight." Once again, God wants the nations to know who He is. He's going to vindicate His holiness. How is He going to do this? Verse 24. God says, "For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own lands." That is what's happening now for the last 100 years, this prophecy being fulfilled. We've gone from thousands of Jewish people to millions. God is bringing all the Jewish people from all the lands around the world back to their land. This prophecy will continue to be fulfilled in the future as well. We've still got 9+ million Jewish people scattered all around the world. God is calling them into land. Why? There's 3 reasons why. Number one, to judge Jewish people. So if there are any Jewish people listening to this message, beware. The tribulation period is coming. It's called Jacob's trouble in the future. It's a 7-year tribulation period. That is the period for the Jewish people, that God is going to judge the nation of Israel. Revelation, we know, the whole book of Revelation tells us that God is going to judge the whole world, but He's also focusing on Israel to judge them. Number one, that He's going to judge. Number two, He's going to save them in the end. Finally, the nation of Israel will finally believe on Jesus as their Jewish Messiah. Take a look, verse 25. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." How can they have this spirit unless they believe in Jesus? Amen. But God's going to cleanse them. And that cleansing process is judgment. That's what the tribulation period is about. At the end of the tribulation is when the nation of Israel will finally believe on Jesus and be saved. They will receive the Holy Spirit. And finally, verse 28, "And you will live in the land that I gave your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God." Finally, the promise that God gave the Jewish people as they were slaves in the land of Egypt will be fulfilled. They will finally become God's people in the Spirit. And they will be able to enter into the kingdom, which is the third promise of God, the third reason why you've got this tribulation period. Third reason, He's going to restore the Jewish people properly into the land, because that's His promise to Abraham. He promised Abraham the land. And so he's going to fulfill these promises for the Jewish people. Amen. This is why we're seeing all this hatred towards the Jewish people. Satan's trying to stop God's plan. Is he going to be successful? No, no way. Not even close to being as powerful as God. No way. God is the only powerful, almighty powerful one. No one can get in his way. And his plan will be fulfilled. And you know what? God is asking us to be a part of that plan. To pray for the Jewish people. To give to the Jewish people. To take care of their needs. To help them in any ways we can. To bring the gospel to the Jewish people first. So why don't we do that? Why don't we go before the Lord right now? Let's bow our hearts before Him and let's pray for the Jewish people. Let's pray for missionaries, the ministries that are in Israel and around the world that present the gospel to the Jewish people. Father in heaven, we love you and thank you and praise you. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come before you right now. We make intercession on behalf of the nation of Israel, the Jewish people throughout the world. We pray for their salvation, Lord. We pray for the workers, the servants, Lord, to preach the gospel message with boldness, but with love and joy and peace to their Jewish friends around the world and to any Jewish people that they reach or come in contact with, Lord. Help us as well, Lord. Help this church to reach Jewish people in this town and around here in Los Angeles and San Francisco, Lord, and any other place that we go. Help us to walk in the power of the Spirit to bring this message, Lord God, this wonderful message of Jesus being the Jewish Messiah, dying for our sins and resurrecting on the third day to give us that living hope of eternal life. So help us, Lord God, in a mighty way. We pray for those Jewish people, Lord, not only around in Israel, but also around the world. And we pray for the enemies of Jewish people as well, Lord God. Pray for the gospel to go through their nations, that they would see the light, see the truth, and be saved as well, Lord. And then we come together as loving brothers to worship you, to praise you, to show the world that there can be peace in the land and peace between the brethren because of Jesus, all because of Jesus. But today there may be a person here. This church has never believed on Jesus before. If you recognize today that you're a sinner and God has touched your heart through this message, that there will be judgment for sin, and you recognize that you need to do something, but you don't know exactly what it is, you need to believe in Jesus. You need to repent from this sin, to turn away from your sin, confess your sin, and believe on Jesus to be saved. If that is your heart, then please pray this prayer right now with me. Jesus, I believe in you. I receive you as my Lord, my Savior. I confess that I'm a sinner. And I repent for my sin. I turn to you, my God, my Lord, my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for resurrecting on the third day to give me eternal life. And I receive you now. Help me to live a holy life unto you from this day forward. With their eyes still closed and their heads still bowed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time in your life and you meant it from your heart, then you are saved. Please raise your hand. Raise it up on high. Did anyone receive Jesus today? Raise it up on high so that we may pray for you. Don't be shy. Just lift up your hand so that we can pray for you. Father, I just want to pray for your special blessing upon this church and their ministry to this world, Lord. They're reaching millions and millions of people through the internet and through radio, Lord. And just pray that you continue to bless mightily, Lord. The gospel continue to go forth in a great way, that many would be saved and that many would let them know that they got saved and that they can get involved in home churches, Lord, and do the things that you want us to do. And that there will be revival in the land, Lord God. So work your wonders in a mighty way. Oh, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you all. God bless you so much, Pastor. I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor. Shalom.